Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, there are so many people who are just now suffering from a loss, a big loss. And I ask you, Heavenly Father, to reach each hurting person and provide a comfort for them in their time of difficulty. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We each want to be prepared, but we can only be prepared for so much on our own. We need to be part of a community which helps one another. Yes, we help others by prayer, but we also help others in a physical and in a practical way. And with this present fire situation, crises, a lot of people have contributed food and clothes and other needs to those who are hurting people. And it seems that this will be an area-wide people, for there's so much difficulty with those who don't have a home. Their homes burned up. And there just could be a lack of housing and a certain homeless problem that has not existed before. So, with all the problems, there are a lot of people who are caring for other people. And look at all those people who are ready to help. It's a good and positive thing that we have individuals, we have community groups, we have ministries and churches, and even government agencies that are willing to help. There are so many people who are willing to extend a helping hand, and they are. And it is right that we have so many people who are willing to help. The need is great. And we are thankful for the generous giving, which is a part of our Christian heritage. I don't think that there's any other culture in the world that gives more than our Christian culture. And I am thankful to be a part of that Christian culture and a part of our North American, again, Christian culture. Now, the president before this one once publicly declared that our nation was no longer a Christian nation. Well, people everywhere heard that in this nation and around the world, they heard those words spoken. And you know, that caused many, many people around the world to pray for our nation. Apparently, what they pray for is that the American people will once again know and belong to Jesus Christ, and that there would be a revival. Perhaps they also pray that America continues to spread the message of Jesus Christ to the world. I find it rather humbling that there are so many people around the world, many of them poor or impoverished, and they are praying for the spiritual revival of the people of America. There are many people who pray in this way around the world. Perhaps they pray out of appreciation for the message of salvation which American missionaries have shared with them. In recent years and in recent decades, those Christian believers in foreign lands have prayed for America when the natural disasters have struck our nation. Days ago, we had another natural disaster, or some kind of a disaster, strike here in California in the form of a fire. There have been fires in both in Northern California and Southern California. What is the cause? Well, they were caused, but that is a little bit unknown. But they made for huge fires. In our neighborhood, the Camp Fire has devastated Paradise, California, and other nearby communities as well. There has been material, physical loss, and it has been great. And in too many other cases, the owners, the homeowners, their fire insurance either was not able to be purchased or it was not adequate. So the homeowners, at least for a time, they just might be homeless. And there's been so many people who were fleeing that area. Some of them, they left in their cars, and they were caught in a traffic jam, and their cars were burned up right on the road. Many of them, well, too many, they had to jump right out of their cars and flee the fire on foot. It's just been a big, difficult time, very hard for so many people. Many have lost all of their material possessions due to that fire. It kind of happened like that in Southern California too, but it was just different. But Southern California and Northern California have both had those big fires. It could contribute to the homeless population as well. And in the last few days, I have heard of many, many people who have opened up their homes to the fire refugees. This has happened in big ways and small ways, in every different sort of a way. I would like to acknowledge the people and say thank you for so many who have played a part in caring for these fire refugees. There have just been so many people who have cared in a big way or a small way. There have been many Christian churches that are giving freely to all those people in need, and we thank those churches. Before the fires, there were a few who were concerned with preparedness. And now, after this disaster, this fire, so many more people are concerned about preparedness. And you get to examine what your own conscience requires you to do to determine what you will actually do, how much responsibility you want to have for you in your life. Because you are responsible for you. It's not the church, it's not the parents, it's not the government. You can get help from these different areas, but ultimately you are responsible for you and your family. And what do we do? As much as we can, we show love to other people. Do we show love to our neighbors and we try to care for those people in need? Just like in the Bible, there was the Good Samaritan, and he was called on to care, this was the example, to care for his neighbor. Now, it wasn't actually his neighbor, it was somebody who took the place of a neighbor. So that was described in Luke chapter 10:29. So we are to care for other people. There are biblical examples for that caring. And I know right before that, Luke chapter 10 and 24, it's written that Jesus says, "I will tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear the things which ye hear, and have not heard them." Now, I just saw that, and that's a part of the times in which we live. There are people who have wanted to live at a time when there's all these things going on, but we are here now. We get to see these things. We get to be a witness, and we get to interact with caring and love to the people who need caring and love. We have been put here for a time such as this. We have events in front of us. We can look at the prophecies. We can see what is happening in these days, the days in which we are living, right here, right now. And we know we were intended for a time such as this because we are alive now, right now. So we know God put us here for this time, a time such as this. And so when times are difficult for us to get through, we can still be glad for it because we know that God put us here for this time. And I know sometimes it's we look at how things used to be easier, but this is what it is. This is the time that we are in. Over the years, I can tell you, it's true that God does work things out, both to His glory and to our good. And sometimes we are just amazed to see how things could have worked out the way they have. It just amazes us. We didn't expect it. But we know when we belong to God, as I just said, He works things out for His glory and our good. Over the years, I've seen example after example when things just seem to be maybe not working out or even for impossible things to occur, but they did. And God was glorified and our long-term good was benefited. So we have our faith built up as we see these examples happening over and over in life. Yes, God has a part in this, and we have a part in this. And our part, it's responding to life events and the things around us, and even disasters. So it can be to something casual or something, like I said, a disaster. We are always prepared to respond to it in a godly way. And ultimately, I look at preparedness as being an important part of this. And ultimately, that preparedness is as we pass into the next life. We have to be prepared for that too. Prepare now to prevent suffering of either ourselves or our family or others. Preparedness is good, and we each have a different way in that we think to prepare. With all those people who are suffering, we can see different ways that we could have prepared to benefit other people or the community. There's just different levels of preparedness. And to my thinking, the most basic levels of preparedness have to do with what our basics are. It's clean water and food and warmth or shelter. I start with water, and it seems like water is always something that gets contaminated, and we can't not trust it to come out of the faucet clean. So we have to know how to make that water suitable for drinking, and have good clean water, food, and then again warmth. Within these categories, we each have our own understanding about how to either preserve what we have or to make it work so that we have these things to preserve our life and the life of others and be a benefit to the community. I think the community is a big aspect of preparedness. And community is a part of what we all deal with. And look at just this fire situation right now. The community has responded. The community has taken an active interest in caring for those people who have been displaced. And a lot of people were displaced. Some had to leave everything behind. Or even, as I said, there were those people who had their cars in the fire area, and they had to flee their cars on foot. So they are fleeing. They got to safety, and they're leaving the area, leaving the smoke of this area, And the ones who can afford it are going even a good ways away and perhaps staying with relatives or something. A lot of people are having their insurance pay for this and that. And a lot of people on their jobs, sometimes they're people who work for the government and they get assistance. But there is just so much going on. People are leaving the area for one reason or another. And we can have our compassionate hearts and help those people in need. I hope we all remember that. Everybody is in need of help. Those people who left all their possessions and apparently are poor, and those people who seem to have assets and are rich, they all need help. They all need help, and they all need the love of Jesus Christ. So remember that as we go through our efforts to show compassion to people. Always be thankful for the things we have. I know one of the things I'm thankful for is that the electricity stayed on in the surrounding areas of that the fires. Because if we didn't have electricity, that would have just changed everything greatly. Oh, we would have been affected so much. No phone recharging would have gone on. Or our computer could not have been recharged. We would not have been able to have heat in our home with our central heating working, or light. See, it was just a good thing that we had electricity. I'm thankful that we had electricity. This was quite a situation with those big dark smoke clouds in the sky. Wow, it was quite something to experience, to see it dark, or practically dark, at more or less noontime. Yeah, and the temperatures went down because of that great big cloud cover. It was 20 or more degrees below normal temperatures. That smoke cloud was so thick that the sun didn't reach the earth, and the temperature was noticeably colder in the area around the fire, because the sunlight could not reach the earth. What a situation. And I had to think about 1816 it was, because that was the year that was known as the year without a summer. It was a three-year period where in London, if there was water left outside, it would freeze. Now, London's at sea level, and even in the summertime, the water would freeze because of the smoke, the ash that went around the world from that volcano. So that volcano, Mount Tambora, happened in 1815 in Indonesia, and halfway around the world, it affected London. That same eruption caused weather changes everywhere in the world, including New England. In New England, there were snowstorms in the summertime. Yes, snowstorms in New England in the summertime. So we can have climate changes, and we could have that for any reason. It's just that smoke cloud reminded me of that happening. Similarly, it happened in 1883 that there was a volcano. It was Krakatoa. That erupted also in Indonesia, and there was severely cold winters for the next 4 years. There was the winters were especially cold, and so were the summers. There was almost no growing season. And what that meant is that there was several years of the crops that were not plentiful. It practically caused a famine in Europe, in other areas. So there are things that happen. And we could have another big volcano. They happen periodically. And what does that, could that volcano lead to? Well, abnormally cold weather in the winter and the summer. And that would mean the crops would not grow. And this would make the population weak, because they would be lacking food. And then they would be susceptible to disease. And that is one of the theories about why the plague spread in the Middle Ages in Europe. It killed so many at that time. It is one theory, because the population was weakened since they did not have an adequate food supply. That's what some researchers will say. So, ultimately, we each can only guess about how seriously we should take these lessons and what we should do to put these lessons from the past into effect today. What should we do? Everybody has their own answer, but I think we should look at doing something. There's some things that we hear, and it affects us for the long-term situations and plans. I think of about a year ago, the Smithsonian Channel had a program on about what would happen if the Yellowstone Super Caldera volcano went off. And they said that about 10 states around Yellowstone would have between 1 and several feet of volcanic ash covering the land in those states. And if that happened, wow, that would just mean we would not be able to grow any decent crops in the Midwest states for 6 years. That's what the Smithsonian Channel said. No good food crops for 6 years. That reminded me of the famine in that in the Middle Ages. What would happen? A weakened population. Well, I don't know, but shouldn't we look at the possibilities? That's what disaster planning is about. We look for nationally, and we look locally. And this forest fire was just a big awakening to what can happen. Now, do you think this is the last forest fire we will ever see? I don't think so. Or do you think that we will never have another large volcanic reaction eruption in the world? I don't think so. I think we'll have more fires and volcanic eruptions. So, these days that there are volcanic eruptions going on around the world, in 2017 and again this year, 2018, there were about 30 volcanoes that spewed ash and molten rock. And typically, there are about 10 volcanoes in the average day around the world that are spewing ash and molten rock. Volcanoes are a real possibility. So, could this ever happen again, that there would be a volcanic ash cloud around the world, and that our food supply would be impaired, our growing seasons wouldn't work, our cold seasons would get very cold in the winter and the summer? Yes, of course it's possible. So should we prepare for such a natural disaster? How seriously should we prepare for that? A volcano or a forest fire? And, of course, we don't know. We don't know what the future is, but it just makes sense when you look at it that we should be doing something. These days in the world, there is what is called the just-in-time method of delivery of goods and foods. And this just-in-time method of delivery means that there are no storerooms of supplies in the grocery store, no storerooms of supplies in most any store. they just call up someplace, and what you need is delivered on a very timely basis because they anticipate it. So we don't have a large margin of error in case we need something. There just aren't extra supplies around. And you might recall that in the 1970s and the 1980s, and of course since then, well, no, let's go back. Before then, there was a strategic grain supply, and this was kept in case there was crop losses or some kind of a food shortage. But after the 1980s, we kept reducing our strategic grain supply, and now we're basically empty. There is no strategic grain supply. There is no extra grains in our nation at all. Mostly are, well, let me say that the information available for how much food we have and where it comes from seems to have a variety of answers to it. You can't just look up one source. But it seems like over half of our food comes from other nations. And it's not just our food, but it's our clothes. It's our shoes. It's our boots. And even the boots that our soldiers wear, they are all made overseas. So we are interdependent in so many ways for food, for material goods, all sorts of things. So I guess that's a pretty good reason to cooperate with one country and another. And what will it all be under the authority of a national ruling body? It could be. We just are going to have to figure things out and see what happens. But on an individual basis, there's always something we can do. And we should. We should do something to preserve our own selves and our own family, our own community, sure, our own nation. And that means we have supplies. Because after all, if we don't have supplies, well, we will just have to be taken care of. And who do you want to take care of you? Ha! You? Or another, well, a governmental body? Who knows? I think there's some things we can all do. So examine the question and make your choice. Be responsible in the best way that you can understand to be responsible. Make your choices. Choose and then act on those choices. I know up in the Paradise Ridge area, there's people who wanted trees, and those trees made for fire problems right now. So the choices are made. We make our choices, and they have consequences that we might not expect. Oh, we have choices in the kind of homes we live in, too. Do we want tile roofs? Do we want stucco walls? It's all a question. Non-flammable has an advantage, but the non-flammable things cost a lot more. We pay the price for every decision we make, and we end up with our own decisions, and we do what we think is the best. And we each get to figure it out. One way or another, we all figure it out, and we have consequences from our choices. And what do? Well, we figure it out. And the Bible is also a good source to try to help us to figure out what to do. We can study the Bible and get answers. The Bible does give a lot of information, but it seems to take study to get an understanding of what the Bible has to say fully. Our United States Constitution has much of its basis in Bible principles. Our United States laws and the structure of our government in the United States uses many principles that are biblical. But it takes a little effort to look and to figure it out. But it's true. It shows itself after you study it. So we have the guidance that is given in the Bible. We know what the Bible says. Well, after we study it, we do. And we can see that God tells us. He tells us what to do. But what do? Too often, we change from what the Bible says, and we turn to our own whims and our own desires. Even these days, what do? In the past years, we have debated whether we want God's Ten Commandments in the schools and on government buildings, or if we want no laws, no restrictions. You know, the debates go on about abortion and about marriage, and that's just to name a few. God says clearly how we are to live, but who do we listen to? Do we listen to God, or do we listen to our own feelings and whims? Well, the examples are there, and we get to choose the path we take, and we get to choose the consequences that we have. I think that's as simple as it is. We look and we make choices and we get the consequences. I hope that we will all look at and use biblical wisdom as we go through life. Sometimes you have to really study things to get that wisdom, though. But that's, I think, a part of what life is about. I do like to say, look at the Bible for the answers. I know so much of the time we end up looking to a person to help us decide, and that is a person other than Jesus Christ. And if we look to a person for our understanding, it's going to be imperfect. The wisdom that we gather is going to be imperfect, so we want to study to show ourselves approved and follow the Bible. And as I see it, that's both the Old Testament and the New Testament. They, from the way I see this, the principles are the same in the Old Testament and the New Testament. They just use different words and different examples to make it more clear what the principles are, what they're trying to convey, what God is trying to convey to us. So it is always good to pray and to ask God for His understanding as we read and as we study God's holy word, the Bible. We want our faith and obedience to grow. It is as though God works with our prayer requests. And when we see God moving, then our faith and our obedience does grow. It is through the Bible that God has biblical principles for us to learn, and they apply to every aspect of life. For instance, one of the things that I've been thinking about is money, and how the Bible talks about silver and about gold as being money. So we can look and see how true that is. I know that it's something that is so foreign to us as having precious metals be money, but that is the basis of what our currency is. The currency is the paper money. Real money is something of value. Well, the Bible talks about all these things, about having something which does have value. The Bible talks about the widow's mite, which is a small copper coin. So that's as I recall, that was Luke 22. We get the idea that Money is metal, which has value all by itself. And also the Bible talks about money failing in Genesis 47:16. While we don't know for sure why money failed, we know that in those days that it was a practice to mix silver and tin together, and that made the value of a silver coin way less. And that would cause the money to fail also. This has happened numerous times in history, that the metals have been mixed and the value of the coin decreased. So, Genesis 47:16 is an example of the money failing, and I think that's why. But here's the point. The point is that the Bible talks about precious metal as money. And our forefathers in America also had this principle in the United States Constitution, Article 1, Section 8. And it says that only specie was to be used as our coinage. And specie means a precious metal or a semi-precious metal. That is what our money constitutionally is. Paper money was not allowed under the United States Constitution because those founders, our founders of the United States Constitution, knew that paper money led to inflation, and that meant an unstable economy and an unstable government and an unstable society. They'd seen this example before. It has happened throughout history, including in France in the 1700s. So, the Bible gives us opportunities to learn and opportunities to for understanding. There's lots of challenging questions that we have when we read the Bible. Sure, and God helps us to find the answers. There's questions that we can have, like, how can there be a God that is three people, but there's one God? That's one of the questions. Or, how can God know the end from the beginning? It's because he's outside of time. There's a lot of questions, and God supplies hints that help us to understand in the Bible. It's a good book. Read it. So, God engages each one of us as our thoughts and concerns are, and he helps us along with the Bible, and that directs us to him. So, back to today. Today, there are lots of people who are displaced and hurting because of the fire. And it might have happened to you, and it might have happened to someone else or someone you know. And there's lots of things that are just plain going on. And I've known a few people who have their houses still standing, and they are feeling like they don't deserve to have what they have when all their friends lost their homes and they didn't. There's a lot of emotional experience that go on with such a event as this tragedy. So it's just, there's a lot of emotional experience going on. So be careful as you're out there. Try to understand and to deal with the realities of life. Now, for some people, they were all ready to evacuate, and they did. And it's hard to remember what to take, what things to take with you. That's why I remind you to have a list. And for me, I know I had my list, and to go through it, it took longer than I thought to remember the things that I wanted to get together in case I had to evacuate. And I was surprised that there still were a couple of things that I didn't put on the list. I forgot, like the portable radio that I wanted to bring, and like the pictures on the wall. I forgot all about those. So you go over your list again and see what kind of things that you would want to consider. I know, just the regular things and the special things, all of it, pictures and, well, you'll get to make your own list. So as I thought about that, if I had to evacuate, I did have compassion for those people who could see the fire right at the doorsteps, and they had to quickly get their things together, and they didn't know if they would ever come back to their home again. What a situation. Even though I think about us adults, I think even more about the children. I think about the very many children who had to go through such a traumatic experience. And I think we can also pray for the children that are involved in this this evacuation and fire. They seem to handle the situation well at the time. I think all children do. But we want to pray that there are no lasting effects for whatever it was that they had to go through. I think prayer is so important. Yes, and then I think about those people who evacuated. It's hard for me to imagine that the traffic was so bad. I heard the reports of people getting stuck in that traffic for 4 hours, and then they had to run from their car because the fire was getting too close. What a situation. And again, I think back to those children and what kind of impressions and memories that they have. And I just pray for God to work in their lives and heal them. Wow. I know people that have fled from that fire, and they did successfully leave their home earlier on that fateful morning, and they got out safely. But just this fire affected so many people. And remember that our prayers are so valuable for the people who lost loved ones, for the people that survived, or even the people who survived with their houses. I tell you, I think that there's a lot who are suffering with guilt when that happened, or something, a survivor. There's a syndrome, which I don't remember the correct name of it, but there is a lot of emotion going on, a lot of grieving over the losses, a lot of grieving over the whole situation. And don't be surprised if it takes months to go through the grieving process. Sure, it gets a little bit less each day, but grieving takes time. And I really don't know any easy way to get through it. It just takes time, and we have to have patience and understanding with the people who are going through that grief process. It's a struggle. It's a struggle for those people who are trying to deal with the reality of their situation and just dealing with life around them now. I hope that we actually deal with the reality of the situation and not get lost into an escape, any kind of escape. I know the popular ones are alcohol and drugs, or some people get lost into the electronic media too. Somehow, the sooner we deal with the problems that are in front of us, the sooner we get past them to deal with the realities of life and the reality of your real situation. So there's so many reasons to pray, so many people to pray for. And not just pray with your words, but actually do something too. That's, I think, a part of what we are all about as Christians. We do things to show our love and compassion to other people, especially the ones that are hurting. So pray for the people you know. Pray for the people you don't know. Or just, you might have passed somebody and you can see that they're probably having a difficult time. So you pray for them too. Pray for people who go by in ambulances, who have to deal with emergency situations. Pray, pray, pray. Our whole day can be filled up with prayer. Prayer for other people. And I know when I can't sleep at night, I try to remember to pray for others at that time. Just pray for in ways that is sensible. Yeah, we're told to pray for the authorities too, and we want them to act righteously according to God's righteousness. Pray for the pastors, the spiritual helpers and advisors. So yeah, there's so many people to pray for. All these interactions we have, we can pray for the people that we see. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, it says to pray without ceasing. Ephesians 6:18 says something about that too. It says to pray always and everywhere. Pray, pray, pray. That's the first step, the spiritual part. And then we contribute as we can in a physical way. People have needs, and that includes the young and the elderly. You know, the young and the elderly, they are more delicate than all of the people in their middle years. And so we want to try to give them the care that they need. It can be as simple as having regular water and regular food, regular warmth. All those things, they go a long way just to keep those two groups of people healthy and alive. And this is not to be dramatic, because the very young and the very old do have, they are more sensitive to everything. So we have to give them a little more attention so that they can cling to life and hold on and not pass on so easily. It's surprising how many people can pass into the next life when their systems, their bodies are disturbed, if they don't have the regularity and the basic needs. So just think about those things. I certainly think about the children especially. Everyone can have respiratory problems or even diarrhea problems. So you want to remember that sanitation is important for any emergency situation. Washing your hands is at the appropriate times is always important. Cleanliness and food preparation, these things are so important. And we want people to survive and thrive, so remember those basic measures as to what you are to do just to keep people surviving and thriving. And as I said, the young people, pay a special attention to them. And you also have to watch the younger children so that they don't do anything to endanger themselves. They just don't realize the problems that their actions can cause. They just don't see it. We who are older, we recognize that some things can make a pretty big reaction, can have a pretty big danger, so we stay away from them. But so often the children are curious and they just need to be watched. So that means you have to have to watch over those children. They cannot be unrestricted in their freedoms. And these days, society wants to give the children unrestricted freedom. But that's not the way to do it in a disaster situation. You really have to watch out for the children. So these huge fires have created an opportunity to re-examine everything around us. All the things that we value, and that includes the value that we place on other human beings. We get to re-examine the values of having trees around us. All these things. Forest fires. There have been so many in California lately, in the last few years. People want to blame the big fires on climate change. I suppose that could have something to do with it, but we have had fires for whatever the reasons, and just look at the fires we have had lately. There have been this campfire here around Paradise. There's the Woolsey Fire and the Hall Fire in Southern California that happened at the same time, approximately. And the other recent fires we've had are the Carr Fire, the Tubbs Fire, Thomas Fire, Ojai Fire, Santa Rosa, and the Mendocino Complex. So this is a time, there have always been fires, and there have been so many, many more, hundreds of smaller fires. But there have been large fires too. The firefighters sometimes have to let fires burn, and in the remote area, forest areas, of course, those fires have a lower priority because those fires are not affecting people or structures. So there's a matter of prioritization that we all have to do. The governing structure has to figure it out for which fires they go to, and we each have to figure it out for what we can do to choose our own level of preparedness. It's just something we have to do. So we've been having dry weather lately, and that means that we have to be more concerned with what those fire conditions are, the weather. You know, there's been so much smoke in the atmosphere, and as I said, that the temperatures, this affects the temperatures. With it being at least 20 degrees colder in the Chico area than it was in the Red Bluff area, well, that just means we have to be aware and think how we would live if it was a winter conditions, or just think if it was a winter day. 20 degrees colder on a winter day, well, there would be lots of broken water pipes. So we had just better pray that we have our electricity still on. That's a good thing. And we better pray against terrorist attacks also, because we want our electrical grid. Oh, yes, we don't want to have any cyber attacks. We don't want our electrical grid to fail. All these things are situations that we could face. So, you know, as I go through these kind of a discussion about the problems we could face, there are people who will think that I'm just being too negative, that I have a negative attitude about how I talk. Well, why can't I just be positive? And I'll tell you that there are things that happen in life, and I see the answer is that we have to prepare for all sorts of things. Prepare for the good times, prepare for the bad times, and that bad things really do happen to good people. So let's give it some thought and try to figure out what we would do, how we want to be prepared. What preparedness steps do you want to take? And like I just said, I think of water as is probably the most basic need. And in the areas where the fires have been, they say don't drink the water as it comes out of your tap. You have to boil every water that you drink. So what are those basic preparations? I think of water, food, and warmth or shelter. For water, I think water filters are so good to have. Just have one or two good ones. And for food, I know I've talked about this before. You can have the quick food, and that's good, or you can have a supply of whole grains, and that includes a grain grinder. It includes sugar and spices and iodized salt and oil. We all have our own view of how we want to do things, but think about being prepared. Get your cast iron pot and your propane stove with propane. And remember those basics: water, food, and warmth or shelter. And for clothes, have your clothes be warm also, for that just in case. We don't know when or if we will need any of it, but we might. So have clothes that will be good for cold weather. And to me, that includes a watchman's cap so that you can pull it down over your ears. You need to keep your ears warm. Some people will need to keep their hands warm too. But keep those extra jackets, extra warm clothes, thick pants, or wool pants if you can. All those things are what you do to preserve your body heat in case there's an extra cold day or the electricity goes out. I happen to like wool a lot, so I prefer wool. If you're going to have a synthetic jacket, that is a polyester jacket or a nylon jacket or something, and if you're around a fire or sparks, you don't want to have it next to your skin, because those materials can cause huge burns. So just be careful on what it is you choose. Have things that are insulation to keep your body warm. That's just one of the cautions. And none of us want to have these things happen, but if they do happen, it's good to be prepared just a little bit. Serious disasters have happened in the past, and we can be pretty sure that they will happen again. So be prepared. And remember, while we don't know what will happen in the future, we don't know that there's Matthew chapter 24 and Mark chapter 13 and Luke chapter 21. They all talk about famine, war, and earthquakes, and pestilence too. So things can happen. So be prepared in every way. Be prepared spiritually and physically. And remember to be thankful for all the things we do have. You can always contact me to get my natural disaster preparation brochure, John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. And also, you can listen to Christ Today broadcasts at www.christtoday.org. And I do like the preparedness discussion I had on November 3rd of 2018. So thank you for listening today, and may you walk with God, and may God walk with you. Give me passion that pours out to every nation. Yeah.